Well, we come to this outline that we've been working on, that we're actually reviewing this week. Moses desiring that all Jehovah's people would be prophets. And this is our third time to get into this outline. I hope to finish this outline today. And then I want to give you half an hour, hopefully, for your homework assignment, which is to prophesy. And we won't stop anyone. We'll just however many of you can prophesy from this week would be good. And then we'll try to take the last 5 minutes. The brothers can give us some constructive help. But I don't want to stop in the middle like we did last week. So we want to give you the time toward the end. So in the first week, we covered mainly Romans 1, that our God is a speaking God. And it also covers this matter that in Numbers 11:29, which is actually Romans 2, Moses exclaimed that all Jehovah's people were prophets and that Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. So in the past 2 weeks, we've covered these points. Of course, our God is a speaking God, and he has regenerated us, and he's actually created us as speaking people, right? We have a mouth, and we heard a lot this morning about our mouth. There are negative things that happen with our mouth. And yesterday in the seniors meeting, we talked about this a lot. We build up with our mouth. We can build the church with our mouth by prophesying. We can also tear down the church by gossiping and negative kind of talk. So we have to be careful how we use our mouth. But the positive thing is God created us in his image, and we have a mouth. And he is a speaking God, and we are a speaking people. Right? And everything that God does, of course, is now in the principle of incarnation. Right? God the Father, the triune God, wants all men to be saved. But he is not preaching the gospel from the heavens by himself. He's preaching the gospel through you and me, right? Through man. So we are now in his image and in the principle of incarnation. We are his mouthpiece. We are his speaking vessel. And the church is a corporate speaking vessel where God can be revealed and God can be seen, especially when we prophesy. Especially when we speak forth God, we speak for God, and we speak God into people, then God is manifested and he is seen. And yesterday, one of the sisters gave this testimony that they had a student meeting, I believe, in the locality where she was prior to coming back to New York. Anyway, they were having a meeting and all the students were prophesying in that meeting. And there was someone visiting that meeting. She was in Hong Kong at that time, who was, I don't recall now if she was a member of the Communist Party, but anyway, she taught communism in the university. And so something like this, right? And so she mentioned this at the end of the meeting. She said, well, I teach communism. I come from an atheistic background. She said, but I want to let you know tonight, I saw God. In the meeting, she saw God. So through our speaking, through our prophesying, we are manifesting God. We're expressing God. And that what she testified is just that just that verse, right? All can prophesy one by one, and the unbelievers or the unlearned, when they enter, they will into your midst, they will fall down and say, God is really among you. So that was a very good testimony of the reality of that verse. And the point in our first week was speaking is very important. We have to be careful. We don't have this kind of negative talk that we saw this morning. That was a lot of light this morning to all of us, I think. I was thankful for the time to confess afterwards, as I'm sure you all were. But we need to see positively that our speaking builds the church. We'll get into these verses in 1 Corinthians. How is Christ building the church? It's through your speaking. It's through our prophesying. That is the top gift that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15. And that is the way Christ is building his church today. So we are practicing prophesying in the church meetings. And we prophesy whether in the small group meetings we speak for the Lord, whether in the Lord's Day meeting we speak for the Lord. But we feel, and personally I feel, that we need to improve our prophesying. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're getting there, and we're working on it. But it seems to me that the way to learn to prophesy is to prophesy. You just have to do it. You have to continue to do it and open to the Lord that, you know, we could have some improvement in our prophesying. So that's pretty much in the first Roman numeral. Roman numeral 3, which we covered a little bit last week. Let me read that to you. A prophet will Jehovah your God raise up for you from your midst, from among your brothers like me. As Moses is speaking, you shall listen to him. This is a prophecy concerning Christ. And this is Deuteronomy 18:15. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, the writer of Acts refers this or uses this verse and equates that to Christ coming as a man. For Christ to come as the prophet that Moses prophesied would be raised up from among the Jews, for Christ coming as a man to be the prophet is a very, very precious point. And it because he is both God and man, he could not be a prophet without being incarnated. He would just be divine. But he is both divine and human. And he prophesies as a human being. In fact, his divinity is not manifested. When people saw him, they said, "Who is this? Isn't this the carpenter's son?" And they didn't understand this was actually God incarnated. And he didn't try to, you know, correct them or anything. He came as a man, a real man, a real man. But he lived a life not by his own human life. And we'll get into this toward the end of this outline. For us to improve our prophesying, and for us to be a prophesying people, our daily living matters. Write that down. Our daily living matters. It mentions later, gives us some help on how we should prepare. In our prophesying, it talks about being revived every morning. Very important. And also overcoming every day. This is our living. We need to have a living of learning to walk by the Spirit, follow the Lord in our spirit, so that we could live an overcoming life every day. Then our prophesying will go to another level. It will come to another level. And Christ is our pattern, right? He had a perfect human life, but he didn't live by that perfect human life. He lived by another life. And that's what we are learning to do, to live by the life of God within us and to live an overcoming life. We cannot overcome, but he is the overcomer from within us. So this is the point related to Christ's incarnation. Now, today we're coming to Romans 4 and 5. Hopefully we can finish 4 and 5. So if you have your outline there, let's read Roman numeral 4 together. The Old Testament typified the Holy Spirit as the anointing ointment in the New Testament. This is a very significant point. The prophets in the Old Testament are types. They typify something. They typify the anointing ointment in your human spirit. Amen. And that is 1 John 2, 20 and 27, which we are going to read right now. I'll write them down over here. 1 John 2, 20 and 27. Okay? If you have your Bibles, let's open to those verses and read them together.
You have an
anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know. Once more, 20. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know. Verse 27. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that
anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as it is taught you, abide in him.
This is I've never seen this until I saw this outline. The prophets were a type of the anointing in our spirit. You have an anointing. And I think the outline mentioned you have a prophet in your spirit.
Amen.
You have an anointing, right? You have the triune God moving in you, living in you, in your spirit. And he is this Christ who came as the prophet from among God's people, from among the Jews at that time. We have that prophet in our human spirit as the anointed. And we don't need anyone to teach us. We need to learn to follow the anointing. And the anointing teaches us mainly to do what? To abide in him. It's not teaching us a lot of other things. It's teaching us to abide in him, which is related to our daily life, right? Teaching us to walk in the Spirit. Teaching us to stay with the Lord. And, you know, you have that phrase, hear him, and I was really reminded of the time we were in New Jersey in the blending conference, right? Jesus only, right? Hear him. And with him. We need to stay with him. Be one with him in our daily life. This will really strengthen us in our daily life to enable us to prophesy and to be the to have the proper prophesying. Okay, so sisters, why don't you read A in this outline, and then brothers B.
In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has replaced the word of the prophets.
Brothers, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has replaced the prophets, and altogether on C. The Holy Spirit, the anointing element, has entered into us to be our prophet. He's entered into us to be our prophet. So we have a prophet within us, and he wants to prophesy through us. So we should learn to open to him and to receive something from him, and then to open to one another, to speak one another, to speak him to one another. Amen. And under C, point 2 says, today the spirit of revelation, typified by the prophets, is in us. And the Spirit gives us revelation. This is what Paul prayed for in Ephesians chapter 1. Right? The Father would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. And we have this spirit of revelation within us. So when we are in the Word, and whether it's in our morning revival time, or whether it's later in the day when we're preparing, studying the Word a little bit, and getting a little more for our, you know, prophesying or our sharing in the meetings, there is something in our spirit which is a spirit of revelation. We see something. Something touches us. And that's what we should focus on. And that's what we should concentrate on. Because that is the anointing. Whenever you have some sense. And then we should pray according to that anointing. You know, sometimes you have some feeling in your spirit, but it's hard to recognize what it is. What is the Lord speaking to you? What is he saying to you? Some point touched you, maybe part of a verse, or some you have some sense within. So you need to pray according to that and ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you saying? One example may be that you have some feeling. You're praying over the word, and you have some feeling about a sister or a brother that you're caring for or it's your burden for, and you have some feeling to contact them, then, but you don't know when or how. So we often then try to, been encouraged to practice this way. Ask the Lord, do you want me to contact them? And you have some more feeling. Yes, I do. Well, when should I contact them? And the more specific our prayer is, the more specific that anointing becomes. And Brother Benjamin helped us one time with this. He said, you know, the children of Israel followed during the day pillar of cloud. It was very definite. But sometimes clouds are just like floating. So sometimes the spirit within is just like a piece of cloud. But when the more you pray about that and you ask the Lord about that, okay, should I go visit them? And then you have the feeling, yes, you should go visit them. then that piece of cloud starts to stand up and become more clear, leading. And then, okay, should I go visit today? No, don't go today. Oh, okay. Should I go? You know, you just pray more specifically. Maybe tomorrow. And then the Lord says, yes, tomorrow would be good. And then that stands up more, it becomes more clear. So we are learning to follow the anointing, and mainly it's by praying and fellowshipping with the Lord and inquiring of Him as to how we should be led. Now, how does that apply to our prophesy? Well, when we're preparing our prophecy, we should ask the Lord. You know, sometimes we should, I practice, you know, I'm speaking this, and I just have some feeling, no, there's no need to say that. That's not necessary. And okay, Lord, what should I say? And then, you know, you just need to pray more and be more specific. And then the Lord will lead you. Okay, you should bring out this verse. And then you change your direction a little bit and prepare your prophecy a little differently. The point is that you have an anointing, and we need to learn how to follow that anointing. And we need to learn what the Lord is speaking to us through the anointing. Then letter D says, the anointing spirit within us is the prophet. One, the anointing spirit has entered into us to be our living prophet. And then 2 says, or 3 says, the spirit who inspired people to be prophets has entered into us as the anointing to be our prophet. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit inspired people to speak for the Lord and to be prophets. Now, this person of the triune God has entered into us as the Spirit to be our prophet. And He is the one speaking within us. Now we come to Romans 5. Let's read Romans 5 all together. The New Testament shows that God wants to save regenerated ones to prophesy. Now we come to 1 Corinthians 14. And I want us to read these, what is it, 5 verses? 1, 3, 5, 24, and 31. 1 Corinthians 14. 1, 3, 5, what is it? 14? 13? 1, 3, 5.
24 and 31.
Yeah, 24 and 31. Okay, so we have that. Let's read them together. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. 3. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. 5. I desire that you all speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy. And greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets that the church is healed. 24. But if all prophesy, and some unbeliever or unlearned person enters, he is convicted by all, he is examined by all. Manifest, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God is among you. Very good. Let's read. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's add 26 here. What then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all things be done building up. And then verse 31. For you all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. In Matthew 16, the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Then throughout the New Testament, we see how is the Lord building His church? In Ephesians 4, it says, it is through, well, we have some gifts that were given to the body to perfect us, but eventually the direct building is through each one part, through the function of all the members of the body. And here Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 gives us more detail that the greatest gifts for the building up, and that's a big point this morning, it's for the building up. The greatest gift is to prophesy, to speak God into people, to dispense God to one another. So that's what we're laboring on. That's what we're endeavoring to do, is to have the greatest gift, the gift of prophesying in the church meetings. And I think these verses are very clear. He makes it very clear. And especially this verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So none of us are exempt. That doesn't mean in every meeting everyone will prophesy. That we just don't have the time for that. But it does mean that we all can prophesy. And we all should prepare to prophesy and then see how the Lord leads as the meeting goes, and as the time allows, we can prophesy. So that there are a couple of factors here. One is we shouldn't take up too much time. You know, 3 minutes or so would be good. And yet we shouldn't just say, oh, I can't speak. I don't have anything to share. Well, you have a prophet in your spirit. And you do have something of Christ to share, because the Bible tells us we all have, each one has different things to bring to the meeting. So we need to learn to prophesy. Okay. So A says, prophesying is the excelling gift produced in the church, in the growth in life, through the enjoyment of Christ for the building up of the church. So this excelling gift is produced by the growth in life. This is a big, an important point. It's not a miraculous gift. It's a gift developed through the growth in life, which means we need to experience the Lord. We need to experience Him day by day. We need to get into the Word. We need to have experiences like we saw this morning of taking care of our conscience, following the anointing. We need to have experiences of fellowshipping with the Lord. We need to learn to experience Christ and to enjoy Christ. That means not just experience Him in our spirit, but even enjoy Him in our soul, in our mind, emotion, and will. Let Him fill and saturate us. That causes the growth in life. And that is important for producing this excelling gift of prophesying, which is for the building up of the church. B says, the New Testament believers are saved by God to be kings, priests, and prophets who prophesy for God. So we're regenerated for this purpose, right? And God's desire is that each of the believers would prophesy, that is to speak for Him and speak Him forth. He wants to speak within us and through us according to the principle of incarnation. These are all the small points under B. Amen. Let's read C together under Romans 5, C. Speaking for God and speaking forth God are speaking by the Spirit of God. Spirit
is always ready to speak with us and through us.
I underline this. The Spirit is always ready to speak through us, right? With us and through us. It's the utterance here is quite good. Speak with us and through us, right? He's speaking. He's the one speaking with us. So that implies our cooperation is needed, right? And then this point about the growth in life is emphasized in D. To prophesy in the sense of telling for and telling forth, speaking for God and speaking forth God, requires much growth in life. So Ephesians 4:15 is the verse before verse 16, which says the operation of each one part causes the growth of the body. But verse 14 says that we would grow up into Him in all things. We need to grow up into Him. In the little things, in the big things, in all things, we need to grow up into Christ. And then, let's read 1 and 2 under D together. For this, we need to know God and experience Christ. If we do not have the adequate knowledge of God and experience of Christ, we do not have anything to say for Him, and we cannot speak Him forth. So we need the knowledge of God. We need to know the Lord. And that comes through the Word, comes through spending time with Him, just like getting to know a person. Spend time with them. Talk to them. We need to fellowship with the Lord. And we get a lot of knowledge of the Lord from His Word. So we need to spend the time in His Word. Amen. Okay. Sisters E and brothers F.
The main work of the New Testament prophets is for building up, encouraging, and consoling others.
Brothers, the goal of prophesying in the church meetings is the building up of the church as the body of Christ. The goal is not for us to give a good prophecy. The goal is not for all the members to prophesy. You know what I mean? Like, we got to wait. We got to have... There was a time, and sometimes I've been in meetings like this, so, oh, almost everybody shared tonight. Let's really, you know, let's all, everyone. The goal is not this kind of outward things. The goal is that whatever we are speaking is for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. The goal is God's goal, Amen. Which is the building.
Amen.
Which is the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. When the body of Christ is prepared and built, the bride is prepared and the body is built, and the one new man is manifested, the Lord will come back. That's the goal, to bring the Lord back. And so we need to realize that this matter of prophesying is not a small thing. It is for the goal. And it is the greatest gift for the goal. Now, we want to end with these 2 points, G and H here. G says, prophesying requires the three constituting elements of prophesying. Okay, and here are these, you can underline these. The first element is a knowledge of the Word of God. And here it's defined as the human element of learning. We need to know the Word, which implies we've got to read the Word, spend time in the Word, and study the Word, because the element of learning is here. The element of learning is here. And we've had several Bible reading trainings after the Lord's Day in several of the districts, and the brothers in those trainings always have questions for the saints who are reading. That's very good, because it instills some element of learning. You have to consider. It's not just to read it and say, yeah, I read it. It's to learn something. The human element of learning. But in addition to a knowledge of the Word, we need the second point, the instant inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the divine element of inspiration. And I think many of us, I would venture to say everyone in this room, has had some experience that you've been in a meeting and there's just some little pum, pum, pum inside, Brother Lee used to say. You have some inspiration to say something. You have some feeling to speak something in the meeting, whether it's a testimony or prophesy or you know, to declare something from, you know, from the verses or from the hymn. You have some feeling. What is that? That's the instant inspiration. That's the anointing. That is the anointing. And we should follow that anointing to say something and to speak something for the Lord. So we need a knowledge of the Word. We need the inspiration of the Spirit. We need to exercise our spirit. But finally, we need a vision. Let's read three together. A vision concerning God's interest and economy, concerning the church as the body of Christ, concerning the local churches, concerning the world, concerning individual saints, and even concerning ourselves, the view of the divine. We need a vision. And we want to speak according to this vision. We don't just want to learn something from the Word. There are a lot of things in the Word. And then have some feeling from the Lord to speak something. So we're just going to, you know, repeat something from the Word. But not have any vision about what? About the building up of the church. And about encouraging the saints. And consoling them. We have to have some vision that our speaking is to impart some encouragement to the saints. To feed the saints. Give them something of the Lord that we've enjoyed. And that That's our goal. That is to minister Christ to others, to dispense Christ to others. So these constituting elements should be included in our prophesying, in our preparation for prophesying, and in our view of prophesying, that we would have God's purpose in view, and we would have God's goal in view. Then H is the last point in this outline. Let's read this together. If we are going to prophesy, we need to live a prophesying life. We need to have a living that backs up our prophesying. And the 2 points here are mainly to be revived every morning, and then to live an overcoming life every day. These are the points that Brother Lee developed in the God-ordained way. We need to be revived every morning. And to live an overcoming life every day. Which means what? Which means we need to hear Him, we need to stay with Him, and abide in Him throughout the day. And not just contact Him in the morning and forget about Him the rest of the day and then go to the meeting in the evening and say, oh yes, the Lord, oh, I should say something. You know, we need to abide with Him during the day. And this, I just want to end with this point. You know, many times I have been, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but, you know, I'm having my time with the Lord and my personal time with the Lord in the morning, and something touches me, whether it's in the Holy Word or in the verses I'm prayer reading, and then I start to consider, oh, I want to share this on the Lord's Day. And so I start preparing my prophecy on the Lord's Day. I'm not saying that's terrible. That's not a terrible thing. But in my experience, it frustrates my continuing to fellowship with the Lord in my personal time. And I start preparing for a meeting. And I think that may not be the best way to do it. Our personal time with the Lord should just be our personal time with the Lord. Just spend time with the Lord and enjoy Him. If there's something that touches you, circle the verse or underline it, but still continue to fellowship with the Lord. And then, throughout the day, we can prepare our prophesy. We can prepare our prophecy. We can go back and study the, you know, the verses or study the outline. Maybe there's some footnotes you can get into. In other words, don't just think the morning, don't take your morning personal time with the Lord, your morning revival with the Lord, as the preparation of your prophesying. Don't take it that way. I think your time with the Lord will be shortchanged. And you won't be so open to His shining and His enlightening. You know, sometimes we need to spend 15 or 20 minutes with the Lord and just open to Him and get some shining and get some enlightening. Even like our brother shared this morning about, you know, our speaking or our eyes, our ears, and, you know, different areas. We need, you know, if you spend time and open to the Lord and He shines on something, we need to spend that time to confess. And that is not, but if we start to prepare our prophesying and we miss out on the confessing, then I think our prophesying will be very short. So don't be distracted from your personal time with the Lord by your preparation for prophesying. Find another time during the day. You know, Brother Lee encouraged us when he's developing the God-ordained way to meet and to serve. He said, just underline or write down a little something in your morning time. Just remind you what the Lord's touched you with and whatever. Then at the end of the week, you know, on the weekend before the prophesying meeting, then put them all together and prepare something and write something. And I think this is a very good practice. Write a little something down and prepare something. And even to practice it before is okay. Sometimes I feel like, well, you know, I don't want to perform. Lord, I don't want a performance. That's fine. We don't want a performance. And if you exercise your spirit, it will not be a performance. But still, sometimes it's good to practice a little, because then you can realize, wait a minute, this has been 5 minutes and I haven't gotten to my point yet. I better cut this out, you know. I'm just rambling here. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay to be prepared. And to be exercised to, you know, share something and then and have a little conclusion and not take too much time. So I hope that we could be impressed through this outline, and of course this is what you've been in all week, of how crucial prophesying is for the building up of the church. Okay, so now we have, I think, about a half an hour, right? A little less. about a half an hour. So your assignment was to prepare a prophecy according to this outline, because that's what we're in this week. And so now we'd like to hear from you. And, you know, we hope that it will take maybe 3 minutes each, so we might get 9 or 10 of us to share something. And then at the end of that time, maybe we'll have a little concluding, what, constructive criticism, if possible, to try to help us with our prophecy. So you can just stand from where you are. You don't have to do anything else. Just stand up where you are and share something, and then we'll maybe at 5 to 12 we may stop and say a little something. So now it's your turn. Amen.